Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast on this 19th of February, 2017. I'm your host, Cyril Joe Quinn, taking you for the next 45 minutes as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Juro or go to my Instagram account at Rillo Gerald Quinn. A busy weekend of sports to go over, as well as pop culture. Got to do on that. We'll certainly talk about Black Panther over the course of the program. But we begin with the NBA and the NBA All-Star Game, which turned out to absolutely just save the weekend, in which, you know, a weekend where it was on pace to become, I think, the most non-existent, just pointless All-Star weekend of all ever, I feel. But the game lived up to the game, you know, the new format, saved the game, saved the weekend. Players were into it. LeBron and company were playing relatively hard. As hard as they're going to play an All-Star game, they're never going to go all out. But playing hard, they're playing hard for an All-Star game, and, you know, you got what you wanted. If you're a fan, if you're a fan of the NBA, certainly you paid what had to be an expensive ticket in LA. You certainly got your money's worth with LeBron's team winning by three, and a game that was decided on the last, in essence, the last two to three possessions. So from that standpoint, you got what you wanted from the game. You can't complain from that standpoint. Again, these All-Star games, these All-Star games are exhibitions. People have to realize it. You're never gonna get to be as serious as back in the old days when you had Magic Johnson in the 80s and early 90s. It's never gonna get that serious. That day is done. Those guys are playing it's a different generation, different time, too much money involved. So you're never going to get that level of intensity with the All-Star game. But last night, you had to be happy with a competitive standpoint. Again, guys were actually trying. You had LeBron really setting the tone with some defense. Guys were trying to block shots. It was fun watching the new generation versus the old. You had, with LeBron and Embiid and guys of that nature. So in terms of the game, you got everything that you could and hope for out of an All-Star game. And you really can't complain from that standpoint. So the game getting lived up to the billing. All-Star weekend, let's be honest, the Saturday night was a disaster. It was an absolute disaster on Saturday night because and to a point to where I think they just shouldn't even do it anymore as far as the dunk contest, the three-point contest. Anytime you have, and first of all, you have Brett Barry doing the lead, as the lead commentator. You have Brett Barry. You couldn't get Kevin Harlan. I know Marv Albert's at this point in his career where that's beneath him, and it is at this point in his career, but you couldn't get Kevin Harlan. Brett Barry, that was your go-to guy to lead an All-Star Saturday night. That just shows you how much TNT thinks about where All-Star weekend is in terms of All-Star Saturday night. It's like, you know what, Marv, we're just going to hold you for the game. We'll let Brett hold down the fort for the night, in terms of the dunk contest, three-point contest, and in that skills competition. Again, All-Star Saturday night was a joke, and the game needed to be that good last night, needed to be competitive, it needed to go down to a wire in order to salvage what would have been a disaster, what would have absolutely been a disaster as an All-Star game. The game needed to be that good, because All-Star Saturday night was a joke. All-Star Saturday night, I've been going back and forth. Carolina was playing Louisville, but even if there was no Carolina game on, I would have had to find something else to watch, or to find something else to go back and forth with. Because there is no way you could sit 2.5 to 3 hours watching that. That was just, and again, I don't know what the NBA can do about All-Star Saturday Night, because the bottom line is the great players, your lead event is the dunk contest. That is what's supposed to be your moneymaker, as far as that's supposed to be the most anticipated event of Saturday night. But when you don't have the best players and your best athletes participating, then what do you have? Now, every so often you'll get a contest with what happened with LaVine and Gordon. But if you don't have LeBron James, and I'm not saying at this point LeBron's 33, but there were years where LeBron should have been in a dunk contest. You know, I can go back with Dominique, Jordan, Kobe was in. I mean, you, for the most part, in the history of the dunk contest, you've had your actual best dunkers. Vince Carter, who guys were not only your best dunkers, but some of those guys were all-star players who even going beyond the Michael Jordans and Dominique Wilkins and guys like that. You had the best dunkers. I'm not sure it's early now you have the best dunkers in the dunk contest. So, you know, I just think that I don't know what the NBA can do about it. Again, if they did away with All-Star Saturday Night, I would not be adverse to it at all. They're not going to do that. But if they did away with it, then so be it. I don't know what they would do in place of it. I don't know. Maybe the NBA could do the Hall of Fame ceremony. Not ceremony, but announce the Hall of Fame. Not nominees, but who's actually going to be in it. Maybe they could figure out something. But All-Star Saturday Night, to me, in my opinion, is dead. I mean, it's a wrap on All-Star Saturday Night. And I don't know, at this point, again, I don't know. Silver is a pretty creative guy. He's shown to be forward-thinking, shown to be he's going to listen to the players. So I don't know what the future is for All-Star Saturday Night. But this past one, Saturday Night, was as bad as I've ever seen it. 347-215-6180 is call number. A lot to do on this busy program. We'll have tonight's headlines and talk some Trae Young as well as a little college basketball. That's coming up. And much, much more in this latest edition of the Sir Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. 347-215-6180 is call number on this President's Day edition of the Sir Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. Tonight's headlines, Devin McCourty claims that everybody knew that the Patriots, Malcolm Butler, was going to be benched Super Bowl Sunday. Everybody, of course, everybody in the Patriot organization. Outside of, I guess that's excluding Robert Kraft, because Robert Kraft did not know until game day. So I guess everybody except Robert Kraft knew that Malcolm Butler was going to be benched for the Super Bowl in terms of, or not starting. I shouldn't say benched because he did play special teams, not starting for the Super Bowl, in which, of course, the Patriots were going to lose to the Philadelphia Eagles. Listen, I don't know if we're ever going to get the real truth out of this situation. The Patriots are as tight-lipped of an organization as you're ever going to see. I don't know why McCourty would come out now and say something and mention it. The media outlet that got this information was Ryan Dunleavy of New Jersey Advanced Media. So I don't know what the purpose of McCourty coming out saying it. I think McCourty in some way was trying to, I don't think, defend the Patriots, but I don't know. I don't know if McCourty is thinking that he's defending Malcolm Butler or the Patriot organization, or maybe even a little bit of both. But I don't know if the complete truth will ever come out in regards to this. Because Malcolm Butler hasn't said it. Malcolm Butler doesn't know why he was benched. It was not a disciplinary, according to him. Wasn't nothing off the field wise, or it couldn't be considered anything too serious from a discipline standpoint, because he did play special teams. So I mean, it could just be a case where one of those Belichick, it's a Belichick brain fart. You can have 5 Super Bowl championships and just drop the ball on it. It could be that just Belichick just outright dropped the ball on that decision. J.D. Martinez signs with the Boston Red Sox 5 years, $110 million. per ESPN report, Adrian Gomez reported from ESPN. The first couple of years of the deal is going to be front-loaded at $50 million. Red Sox, of course, desperately needed a guy that could pop with some pop. They were amongst the bottom half of baseball in terms of that, American League, in terms of the total home runs. Martinez had 45 home runs last year in just 119 games. Had a great Septembers that you'll ever see. The guy hit over 416 home runs in September for the Arizona Diamondbacks. There have been some thoughts that he might go back to Arizona, but he signs with Boston 5 years, $110 million. So Boston's going to get 30 years old. You know, the amount, 5 years is not, it's not that long. So I think a fair deal for a guy who with that kind of pop. And again, Boston had to sign this guy. They need some home runs in that lineup, especially competing with the Yankees in terms of what they did in the offseason. Even if the Yankees hadn't signed Stanton, the Yankees still had more power than the Boston Red Sox. Of course, tonight, also some baseball. Major League Baseball is going to limit the mound visits to 6. They're also going to decrease the time in between. Decrease the time for relievers in between innings. In between innings, once a relief pitcher has entered the game, it's going to be less time. So baseball is trying to desperately cut down on the 3 hours and 5 minute average per game that you had last season. I've said this, and I'll continue to say it. Baseball is not a sport of pace. You look at baseball like, I'll use this analogy, if you're like 15 years old, if you're like 18, I'll use that, if you're 18 or 21, you're drinking, and I can speak for myself, I know that 18 to 21, between the ages of 18 and 21, I wasn't thinking about wine or drinking cognacs and stuff like that. I wasn't thinking about drinks that you actually have to sip to get the exact taste out of. Think about that. Think about liquor, liquors and rail drinks and stuff that you could afford as an 18 to 20-year-old. So as you get older, you start, if you continue to drink as you get older, you start to, sip on wines and things of that nature to get the taste out. You start appreciating what you're actually tasting instead of drinking to party. So with baseball, you have a sport where it's not, again, if you're looking to go to a baseball game or watch a baseball game and you're worried about how much time you're going to spend watching a baseball game, then you're watching the wrong sport. If you want to watch a sport that's quick and to the point, watch a soccer game. Watch an NBA game. Those games, soccer is a straight 2 hours. The NBA, 215, 220, moving fast pace. Okay? Baseball is not that sport. And baseball is never going to be that sport. I don't care what they do with the pace of play. I really don't. To me, it doesn't matter. Baseball will never be that sport where... Baseball will never be that sport where pace of play, where you're worried about where you want a faster pace of play. Again, if you're worried about how much time you have on your hands, you don't go watch a baseball game. It's just not built for that. And it never will be built for that. So again, Major League Baseball wants a younger audience. They want a younger audience. Baseball, frankly, is not built for a younger audience. The world is different. The world has changed. People have less patience than ever. I'm not just talking about young people. I'm talking about people in general. People are stuff right now. We live in a microwave society. We want instant gratification. And that is not baseball. Again, baseball, I would compare baseball to a novel. It's like a book. you're not going to get the, you know, there's a buildup between innings. There's a buildup. You have 9 innings. Now, what happens, you know, what happens in inning 2 can affect what happens in inning 5, 6, or 7. And that's the beauty of baseball. Like, there's no other sport that has a buildup, that has a novellic quality like it. That's why I love baseball. But again, if you're watching, if you are going to a baseball game or going to sit down and watch a baseball game, and you're thinking about how much time you have on your hands and you're in a rush, it's not the sport for you. It's just not. 347-215-6180 is the call number. When we return, we'll talk college basketball and Trey Young. That's coming up on this latest edition of the Short Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. 347-215-6180 is the call number. This broadcast is being sponsored by webmagazine.com. Again, webmagazine.com. Get your first subscription of the magazine free. Certainly, you know, a lot of variety of magazines that you can attribute sports wise, health, and a number of other magazines are available at www.websitemagazine.com. A sponsor of the Sergio Quinn Sports Podcast. So you have Kansas, Oklahoma tonight. Kansas starting to play better, has cracked the top 10. Matter of fact, not only cracked the top 10, they right now projected many brackets to be a number one seed right now. You have Oklahoma, who's on the opposite end of the spectrum. They're currently on a 5-game losing streak, and their star player has been struggling, to say the least. Here's what Trey Young said this weekend after another loss to Texas on Saturday. I'm getting guarded like nobody else is in the country. It's being guarded, scouted on like no one else in the country is, Young said. It's a mystery coming out each and every game to try to figure out how a team is going to guard me and how I'm going to dictate how my team wins. So that's what Trey Young had to say after the loss to Texas, 77-66, which would have me a little bit concerned if I'm, you know, somebody in the NBA. Well, listen, I still think Trey Young probably will be taken as the number one point guard and a lottery pick. And I think he deserves to be a lottery pick, probably even in the top 10. But this idea of Trey Young being this transcendent player, possibly, or the guy, forget about the Steph Curry comments, Steph Curry comparisons, those were always, I found those to be comical. You know, just because you can shoot, just because you shoot 30-foot jump shots, don't compare him to Steph Curry. But the bottom line is, this is stuff you don't want to hear from and then later on in that interview or during the post game, he talked about his knee hurting, so he's using that as an excuse on why he struggled as well. So this is stuff that you don't want to hear if you are a team that has a chance, an opportunity to draft Trey Young. Listen, I mean, somebody should have let Trey Young to know, like, yeah, when you're averaging 29 points and 9 assists, and when you are by far and away your team's number one option, defenses are going to scout, are going to try to come at you and stop you. The defense is going to try to come, you know, or coming at you, you know, with everything. And I think, frankly, Lauren Kruger has not done a good job at, you know, diversifying their offense. Everything is centered around Trey Young. Everything. Everything. So to me, teams have just called up with Oklahoma and just say, okay, we're gonna make other people beat me. We're gonna trap you. We're gonna be physical with you. We're gonna try to be physical with you. We'll knock you around a bit, and let's see how you handle it. And he clearly hasn't handled it well at all. Basically, hasn't played well in a month. The last good game that he played was ironically against Kansas, in which he was like 26. As we leave our Facebook audience, he was like 26. He went for 26-9 and shot seven. It was a game where he was by far and away his most efficient game of the season. Shot 7-9 from the field. 10 for 12 from the line and was 26-9. I thought played the best game of his career in that win over Kansas 85-80, which seems like it was eons ago, but it was probably basically a month ago in Oklahoma when Kansas was ranked fifth. Oklahoma at that time was like a legit top 12, top 15 team. So again, this is not what you want to hear out of a guy who is projected to be a top 10, top 7 pick, and without question would be a lottery pick, and probably was the league. He was the league candidate for player of the year. I don't think, you know, I know he has great numbers, but I don't think you can have a guy be player of the year on a team that is going to struggle to make the NCAA tournament. And that's where Oklahoma's at right now. Oklahoma's going to be on the bubble. Now, they will make it because they have a number of quality wins early in the season. They won a number of games against excellent competition, including a non-conference win against Wichita State. So they're going to make the tournament. But you've seen a guy, I'm not saying he's been exposed, but you've seen him struggle with physicality, and you've seen him struggle when the defense is strictly geared to stop him. When the defense can just zero in on what he does. Very interesting to watch him against Kansas tonight at Kansas. Kansas is playing better. Oklahoma needs to win to kind of solidify their tournament resume, but I still think they're going to make the tournament. So you have Oklahoma, Kansas later, you know, in about five minutes or so. When we come back, a little mini controversy for All-Star Weekend, and look who's in the middle of it. No surprise, LeBron James. We'll talk about that and much, much more in this latest edition of the Cyril Joaquin Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Sports Podcast, of course, right in the heart of the All-Star game, not only winning the MVP, but in terms of the interview that he did with Kerry Champion, along with Kevin Durant, was LeBron James. LeBron James did an interview with alongside Kevin Durant with Kerry Champion, this interrupted show that they have riding with Uber, where Kerry Champion interviews celebrities, sports celebrities, sports athletes in particular, you know, a lot of NBA players. So basically Durant and LeBron took shots at Donald Trump over the course of the interview for about 3 to 4 minutes on Trump. So we have Laura Ingram responds by, you know, basically telling, you know, saying to LeBron as well as Kevin Durant that they should just shut up and dribble, that they don't, you know, have the expertise to make to talk about politics, even calling out both of them for their use of grammar. LeBron, you know, according to Laura Ingram, did not graduate high school. They left, you know, accusing LeBron of leaving high school a year early, which is completely false. We all know that. LeBron called it out for that. But the bottom line is first of all, you got to understand who, you got to always consider the source when stuff like this comes out. This is Fox News, the, you know, Republican network, and the Republican conservative network. And you're talking about All-Star Weekend, and you're talking about a guy, the athlete LeBron James, that, you know, is right now, you know, outside of soccer, maybe outside of Messi and Ronaldo, the premier global athlete on the face of the earth. So he's, you know, he is as recognizable and as powerful of an athlete that there is in this country right now. And he is a lightning rod. Whether it's because of what he says or because of what is said about him. So this was Laura Ingram basically, you know, going for a ratings grab. Let me talk about this guy, All-Star Weekend, LeBron James. Let's see whether she believes it or not. Whether she believes what she says or not. Chances are she does believe it. But this even goes beyond what she believes. This was a classic case of a ratings grab. The problem is, if you're lowering him, number one, if you're gonna have that strong of an opinion on LeBron James, you have to have all your facts straight in regards to, you have to know that he graduated high school. You can't get that wrong. You cannot get that wrong if you're lower income. So she did a bad job from that standpoint. The other part of it is, and maybe she doesn't care about this part, but in essence, you know, more people are going to want to know what LeBron thinks about politics and social issues after her criticism of him. It's not going to lessen that like that. I don't know if she was trying to decrease that number or she was trying to send a message to people that they shouldn't listen to LeBron James. If that's the message she was trying to send, she basically thwarted her own goal. She actually increased how many people are going to view and pay attention to what LeBron James says that is non-basketball related. And LeBron already had a high number anyway of people who were listening to him talk about social issues or non-basketball issues. That number was already high. I mean, the guy has, I don't know what, 30 million followers on Twitter or Facebook or on Instagram. Maybe even more than that. I might even be shortchanging. So to me, again, putting the ratings grab aside, all she did was make LeBron that much more powerful in the consciousness of the sporting as well as casual fan in that vein. Now people are going to be anticipating that much more what LeBron says about a social issue or about President Trump. So she kind of, you know, again, she got her name out there that much more. She drew attention to herself, which I'm sure was, and again, ratings and things of that nature, had gave herself, you know, a couple of days worth of content to talk about. But again, she also fueled the fire of LeBron James's, discussions for social change and equality. She also added fuel to that fire. So, again, you have to understand who you're dealing with when you hear comments like this. I didn't even get upset by it, and I'm not going to even call Lord Ingram a racist. But again, if you're going to come at somebody, you have to have all your facts. And you have to expect too that you may be called a racist if you come at LeBron the way she did on LeBron. 347-215-6180 is call number. When you return, you want to gauge how you're having a good time or whether you're interested in something or not. I'll give you a pretty good gauge of that on this latest edition of the Sir Joe Quinn Sports Podcast, along with Black Panther. That's coming up. That's what's more. We'll be right back. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this last edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast, as Kansas and Oklahoma tipping off, or as already tipped off, or will tip off in a couple of minutes. We're looking to see if Trae Young can bounce back, struggling big time over the course of the last month or so. Kansas playing well right now. A lot of people have Kansas as the fourth number one seed behind the likes of Villanova, Virginia, and also Xavier as well. Despite Xavier falling to Villanova. Villanova has owned Xavier over the past few years. That did not change over the weekend. In regards to the college basketball, and again, this season has been as wild as any. Last week, you had the top 10 teams going 10-9. I'm looking at these teams. One of the things I'm looking at, and the way North Carolina is playing right now, and of course, I'm a North Carolina fan, but North Carolina is going through a stretch where they've won five straight They're ranked up to number 10. They're on the three line as far as a lot of these brackets you see. Have them on the three line, which is fine. They had a 3-game losing streak before this winning streak. There are a number of other teams, there are a few other teams that probably should be ahead of them as far as their resume. But North Carolina right now has an enormous advantage moving forward because their schedule, and I'm looking at it, like they had a game on Saturday. They won't play again until they play Wednesday. Then they won't play again until the following Tuesday. And then they will have four days off before, four days off before they take on Duke on March 3rd. And then when you talk about that, we'll talk about at least a week off, or close to a week, almost a week off, at least 4 or 5 days off before the ACC tournament starts. And, you know, and again, things like that down the stretch make a difference, because a lot of these teams wear down. You don't know why a team struggles in March. A lot of these teams just get tired and wear down throughout February and early March. Obviously, remember, there are a lot of games at the end of the season with these conference tournaments and how quickly the NCAA tournament comes at following the conference tournament. So you can in essence play like 6 games in 10 days. Yeah, I mean, that's very much possible. You can play 5 games in 10 days, something like that. And now these guys are not professionals. They're not built to have that kind of stamina that they're built, physically developed to play that kind of, have that kind of wear and tear, especially at the end of the season. So North Carolina has an enormous advantage going into the tournament. Not only the fact that they're playing well, but the fact that they're going to have a lot of rest moving forward, going from at the end towards the latter part of February going into March. And that is a big advantage if you're trying to win, play well in March, and particularly go to the Final Four, win a national championship. 347-215-6180 is the call number on this latest edition of the Sir Joaquin Sports Podcast. Recapping a couple of things we went over. Again, NBA All-Star Game was a success. You have to say it was a success, the game itself. It was a close game with, of course, Team LeBron taking out Team Steph. 148-145. LeBron is the MVP. His third. Jimmy Butler didn't play. Was a DNP. Now, if you're Jimmy Butler, I understand that your team, that you are committed to your team, you're trying to make the playoffs. They're going to make the playoffs, but the number one goal is to be healthy moving forward in the second half of the season. About 24, 25 games left in the regular season before the playoffs. I understand that your number one goal and your number one priority is to be healthy for the Minnesota Timberwolves. I get it. But you're telling me you can't go out there and play 5 minutes in an All-Star game? I mean, you can't get fired. You can't go out there and burn up the court a couple times? Now, again, Lou Williams doesn't have a leg to stand on, because Lou Williams should not have been on the team. So I don't want to hear from them either, complaining about talking about Jimmy Butler. Lou Williams should not have been on the All-Star team, and he wasn't. But you're Jimmy Butler. You can't go out there 5 minutes and just run up and down the court a couple times, throw a couple passes. Yeah, you don't got to go out there, break somewhat of a sweat. Also, the Kobe Shaq interview, I guess the only thing that came out of that to me that of any relevance was the fact that how close Kobe was of going to Chicago. I guess that was the only thing that I took out of that I did not know. I remember hearing the rumors about Chicago that I didn't realize how close he was to going to Chicago. Apparently, he's talking about him and his wife looking at houses and schools for the kids. Didn't know he was that close to going to Chicago. So that was the only thing of note to take out of the Kobe and Shaq interview. Listen, let's be honest. And again, they can go on television and play nice and the lovey-dovey and this, that. Anybody who followed the NBA, anybody, especially if you root for the Lakers like me, you know that those guys hated each other. Okay? that they won in spite of each other, and they were successful in spite of each other. They knew they did enough on the court. And that's how talented they were. They did enough on the court to win 3 championships in 4 years. I mean, Shaq cost, in essence, Shaq cost Kobe and the Lakers a championship, a four-peat. The Lakers could easily four-peat it in 2002-2003. Remember, that, I don't know why that hasn't been reported or nobody's talked enough about that season, about Shaquille O'Neal, you know, in terms of how he just basically, you know, refused to have toe surgery in the beginning of the offseason, chooses to have it around training camp, and misses, you know, in essence, missed the first, 10 to 12 games of that season. Lakers, you know, have to, you know, really go for it. Couldn't cruise like they could, like they wanted to, going for 4 straight championships, and they had, and those veteran players had nothing left, come playoff time. So and if you don't think that bothered Kobe, you know, when he's coming back off a 3rd championship, coming back in the best shape of his life and playing the best basketball of his life, you don't think that bothered Kobe Bryant to a core. You don't know Kobe Bryant. So I don't buy this idea that, now, again, time heals all wounds, guys are mature, they both will have more money than they'll ever be able to spend. So maybe from that standpoint, they look at it as, hey, there's no reason for us to be upset at each other. Maybe they have an amicable relationship, and not to where they're having barbecues and sending Christmas cards, but to where they're able to do interviews on camera. I know Kobe was at Shaquille O'Neal's ceremony and vice versa. Shaq was at Kobe's last game, you know, where he scored 60. So maybe they've softened up. Maybe they, you know, as they got known, they've softened up towards each other a bit. But during that particular time, you know, from 2000 to 2004, or from 96 to 2004, when they played together for 8 years, they couldn't stand each other. And everybody knew it was real. It wasn't just make believe. It was real. That was not Shaq wasn't calling it entertainment, or we just was playing with people. No. They couldn't stand each other. That was real. 347-215-6180 is the call number. When we return, we'll talk about Black Panther. That's coming up on this edition of the Sergio Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. 12 minutes after the 9 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Sergio Quinn Sports Podcast. If you ever out in a social setting or just anywhere in general, if you really want to gauge whether or not you're having a good time, where you're interested in, where you're at, where you're interested in the company around. The cell phone test is the best gauge that you can ever, it's the best out there. So I'm out Friday night with some people, birthday celebration. And I thought about this the following day. I had a great time, enjoyed the company, enjoyed the drinks, had a great time. The following morning, I thought to myself, I didn't look at my cell phone not one time over the course of, you know, that Friday night. Just there for any of us, including myself, when we are anywhere, not to look at our cell phones. We get it on social media, but email, whatever, social media, whatever, just look at our phones just because. So to me, that is a gauge of, again, you ever need an instrument to gauge whether you're having a good time or to gauge whether you have an interest in where you're at. Don't find a better one than the cell phone. I don't think there is a better one than the cell phone. As far as Black Panther goes, again, rarely do I ever recommend seeing a movie twice. I think you have to go see this movie twice. I know there's some stuff that I miss, because I was so enamored with the art direction and the cinematography. The visuals was just off the charts. I've never seen visuals like that in any movie I've ever seen in my life. I've never how colors, the costumes, design, it's just, I've never seen anything like it. Ever. Again, Louis did not go, again, cell phone check. It absolutely passed the cell phone check. Didn't look at my cell phone once. At the end of the movie, you hear a round of applause in the theater that I was in. It's very rare in any movie you're at. So you had that. The movie didn't seem like it was, again, it was, what, two hours and 20 minutes. It didn't seem like it was that long of a movie. And again, it's a movie that you have to see twice. It's a must that you see this movie twice. We know about some of the numbers that have already come out. $235 million. Fifth biggest opening all time. But it's even more, it's even bigger than that. I mean, this movie, you know, this movie is going to be historic in terms of the amount, the impact that it has moving forward. And the conversations that it brings up, and discussion of history and things of that nature and culture. So it's bigger than about just the sheer numbers, which are going to be ridiculous. They're going to put up some ridiculous numbers in terms of the money that's going to be made. But again, it's a must-see, not one time, but it's a must-see at least two times, I recommend. I'm going to see it again later on this week. But just a visual masterpiece that this film was. Perfectly cast. And I'll tell you right now, they went out their way. And this tells, I'm going to give you a little Hollywood tidbit. So, and I'm going to give this a spoiler alert. Is at the end of the movie, the little boy, at the end of the movie, who, they're on the basketball court, little boy at the end of the movie asked about the ship the ship and what's that, and he was asking a couple questions. That is the little boy who was in Moonlight, and he's also on The Shy. And they went out of their way to emphasize that by flashing to him about two or three times, keeping the camera on him. Like, yeah, this is the little boy from The Shy, or from Moonlight. So that is clearly a case of if he's, you know, and listen, give the kids' agents some credit. They could have got any kid to play that role. You're on the screen for like 2 minutes, the last 2 minutes of the movie. You had like one line. Maybe you had two, maybe if that, two lines at work, at that, if that. So that is his agent saying, hey, people are going to remember what he's currently playing on and where he played in terms of Moonlight. Make sure of that. So I found that funny at the end of the movie. But again, overall, I think it's I know it's a must-see movie that you have to check out more than once. And I haven't heard a bad thing said about it from anybody that has went to see it. So Rotten Tomatoes gave it 97%, which is about right. And it's going to make a ton of money, but it's even more important than that from a cultural standpoint. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Joaquin Sports Podcast. I will see you next time. So long.